This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I'm going to ask you to come with me on a journey again, just or even at least think that you're going in this time machine.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, جزاكم الله خيرا for sharing your time with us. It's a pleasure being here again in the UK. May Allah bless you, wallahi, for doing a great job and continuing to support IERA's great work. Today's topic is the etiquettes of the da'iyah and da'wah at large, but specifically from one side. And inshallah, we'll take you through a quick journey to take a look from the side where we can see you. We'll put you in our shoes and hopefully you can see what it's like to be a da'iyah. But most of the time when people talk about a da'iyah, they have a negative connotation. And some of the youth specifically, when we ask him, what do you think of the da'iyah? He says, is that the guy that says, haram, you're going to nar, you're hellfire? And all that stuff? He says, no, it's not the kim da'iyah, inshallah, that you're thinking of. Let's go back to Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he was the best da'iyah ever. So let's go through the teaching of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi'ula, how he taught Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to be the best of creation, to be the best of da'iyah. Hence, we follow suit of the best of creation, inshallah. So let us take the true teaching of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi'ula, four words. اقرأ قم قم واصبر. The revelation in order was given to us as a plan and a roadmap for da'wah. So we will talk about that. We will also talk about the three points that Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi says when about the da'iyah. What do you have to do in order for you to do this? We'll also talk about the words of Luqman al-Hakim. In also the Quran, when he was talking to his own son. And then we will also talk about the stages the da'iyah or talib al-ilm, the seeker of knowledge, goes through of the stages. So you'll have an understanding. And then we talk about manners and etiquettes, sealing it off with what the fruit of the da'iyah, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who listen to speech and follow the best of it. Ameen. The first lesson learned from Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi'ula, teaching Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hence teaching us in the process, the first word is revealed in the Quran is iqra. The scholars, when they looked in these stages, when they said the word iqra, recite, read, and the story is long, it's not what we're here for, but we'll talk about da'wah. So how do we actually derive ahkam, rulings, from these words? Iqra, recite. But in that case, we say acquire knowledge. As we know now, requiring knowledge is an obligation for every Muslim and Muslimah, for every a brother and a sister as a Muslim. It's an obligation for us to acquire knowledge. So the first rule, if you want to give da'wah, I'm not going to talk about the etiquettes and manners after, but just the ruling of giving da'wah. Is iqra, recite, read, acquire knowledge. You cannot give anything if you don't have it. فَقِلْ شَيْءٍ لَا يُعْطِي. How could you give da'wah if you don't know what you're talking about? You have to do something PK. If you're in business, they will always tell you that you have to have product knowledge. The product knowledge will actually teach you how to talk about it. And in sales, they talk about two things. Futures and benefits. Futures attract and benefits sell. So let's talk that now. So da'iyah is, that's what he is. Or she is. So first of all, you have to acquire knowledge. When you acquire knowledge, you've got the first step. This is practical steps, by the way. Now how do you acquire knowledge? And what are the steps that you go through acquiring knowledge? What is the key for acquiring knowledge. Anyone know what is the key to acquire knowledge? It's mentioned in the Quran, by the way. I don't have candy with me. But if you give me the answer, I'll tell you, you get an extra large thank you. Who knows what is the key for ilm, acquiring knowledge? It's mentioned in the Quran. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. So brothers and sisters, if you want to acquire knowledge, you have to have one down payment. Taqwa. According to the verse, Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you have piety, consciousness, love and fear of God, right, all the that comes with the attributes of taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you ilm. If you go to Ash-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayh, he says, شَكَوْتُ لُوَكِيعٍ سُوَ حِفْظِي فَدَلَّنِي عَلَى تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي. He says, I went to Waki'a, my teacher. Ash-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayh, he used to have a very big ability, very large ability to memorize Quran quickly. So he used to place his left hand on the Quran, fearing that he would memorize this page before that right page. So all of a sudden, it got down, it decreased a little bit. So he used to complain to his teacher, Waqia. So I said, I complained to Waqia that I'm losing it. He says, he indicated to me, leave the act of disobedience. وقال, إِنَّ الْعِلْمُ نُورٌ وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُهْدَى لِعَاصِي. And indeed, knowledge is like a guiding light. And this guiding light that comes from Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula is not given to a disobedient servant. Number one rule. But when you acquire knowledge, akhi and ukhti, you will go through three steps. Our teachers say this. Most of us have been through it. One is kibr, or kibriya. When you start acquiring knowledge, what happens? He says, hey man, I read a booklet. I learned from the mashayikh. I now learn from this. I've been to that place. I learned that. I went to this course. I heard this DVD or CD or whatever. And now I'm a mufti, right? You can ask me a question. Come on. I'll take you on. Do you know this? Of course I know this. You want fatwa? No problem. Sign here. Yeah, no problem. So kibr, right? Kibriya. As soon as you start seeking knowledge, you know, you come into the masjid, what happens? You're walking around like Superman, right? You have an S on your chest. Go ahead, try me. I'll take you on, my man. Give me your best shot. Questions right here. Free fatwas for today. First thing, that's the first level. When you start seeking knowledge, you go through that. Second stage, humbleness, tawadu. After a while, you recognize and realize that you don't know everything. There's too many questions, you have no clue what they're talking about. So you come in the masjid like Superman, you end up in the fetal position. You're now humbled a little. Third stage, ignorance. The more you know that you don't know. So you become ignorant. Subhanallah. Amazingly enough, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us through this, if I go into the etiquettes and manners of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of this, we'll take another hour. But I'm going to stick to the methodology of this, and hopefully in the end we'll put it all together in the characteristics, inshallah. First one we talked about is acquiring knowledge, and we talked about the steps of acquiring knowledge. So it says, Iqra is the first word. Ilm. And we give you the key for acquiring knowledge, which is taqwa. And the three steps that you will be going through as a da'iyah, so you'll have a heads up. So you're not surprised. Now let's go to number two. After Iqra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُمْ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Stay up at night to pray. What do you derive from that? We have to learn a few things. The first thing we learn is walk the talk. After you acquire the knowledge, you have to put it in action. لَيْسَ مَنْ يَعْلَمْ كَمَنْ لَا يَعْلَمْ. They're not the same, those who know and those who don't know. الْعِلْمُ حُجَّةٌ لَكَ أَمْ عَلَيْكَ. Your knowledge is a plea against you or for you. So now you have had the acquired the knowledge. Number two, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Stay up at night to pray. you want to become a da'iyah, ya akhi and ukhti, you have to have something. You have to deposit with the bank of Allah. You have to have something that nobody else has. Sincerity. You have to be sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula, otherwise you are toast. There is a scary hadith in the Sahih that says, "Man sama'a sama'a Allahu bih, wa man ra'a ra'a Allahu bih." Allahu Akbar. If you want to do this because you want to be popular and people hear about you, people will hear about you, but not in a good way. If you want to be famous, that people see you all over the place, you will be seen, but not in a good way. It will be infamous way. So be very careful, my brothers and sisters, for acquiring knowledge. You have to have ikhlas. Allahu musta'an. It's a scary thought, wallahi. But please do not seek knowledge for anything else other than the sake of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. There is another scary hadith. I do not want to scare you up, but it's an amana fi ilm that you have to make sure that you know that. The hadith says that hellfire, waliyadu billah, may Allah keep us away from it and keep us away from it. Ameen. Three types of people that will ignite the fire. Could you remember what they are? First one? Okay, let's talk about the one we're in now. A person that is seeking knowledge to be called alim, a scholar. وَقَدْ قِيل. It was said, you got what you wanted. Nothing will help you on Judgment Day. Because in the Sahih hadith, Umar radiallahu anhu and sahaba ajma'in, says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. Indeed, the actions and deeds will be held accountable to what you intended. And you will get what you intended. So what you intended is people's acknowledgement. You got that? That's what you got. The second is praying for the sake for the people and fighting for the sake of tribalism and so on. But we take the one that is such. So please, brothers and sisters, make sure you have ikhlas. This poor slave of Allah learned something from Dr. Saqr, Zallah Nakhir in the States. Young. I was in the ISNA convention a long time ago in Chicago. I remember it vividly. And the doctor said, Ya Akhi, when you wake up in the morning, why didn't you say, Ya Rab, istakhdimni fi ta'atik, istakhdimni fi da'watik. Ya Rab, Ya, oh my Lord, use me for your sake, use me for your da'wah. Have the niyyah, have the intention. The scholar says, A'ajiz al-muslimuna ani niyyah. Can we not at least have the niyyah? He says, if you're sincere, Allah will use you. Wallahi, if you are sincere about giving da'wah, akhi and ukhti, rest assured that Allah will use you. Number two, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So we learned, number one, acquire knowledge. اقرأ. Number two, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Put your knowledge into action. Walk the talk. People will see through you. You cannot be a hypocrite. كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. It is a grave sin in the sight of Allah that you tell people something and you do the opposite. As a matter of fact, there is another one. This is a people who actually sees people in that place where it's a scary place. Says, isn't that the one that used to tell us to enjoin good and not do it? And forbid evil and do it? So be careful. As a da'iyah, you have a big responsibility. Why? Because you are walking in the footsteps of prophets and messengers, righteous scholars, sahaba, and so on. Very careful, akhi, if you're a da'iyah. Wallahi, sometimes it is very difficult to control. But all the time you think about the responsibility. Everything you see, say, hear, and do, you are now on the vision. People see you, hear you, and they take your actions and deeds as ahkam, rulings, haram, halal. That person does it, it must be halal. That person doesn't do it, it must be haram, and so on. So be careful, inshallah. Number three, another word that starts with qum. Qum fa'andhir. The third stage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have acquired the knowledge, you have established knowledge into actions, now you're ready. قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ. Start giving a warning to people. Tell them about Islam. Tell them the truth about the lordship, the godhood, and so on. But how do you do it? Let's go to Ibn al-Qayyim in this case, rahmatullahi alayhi. He says, in order for you to give da'wah to people, he has three steps solution. Number one, alif, thumma arif, thumma kallif. Alif, alif al-qulub, meaning we can sell hearts. Let people like you. If people don't like you, they will not listen to you. If people do like you, they will listen to you. So how do you give da'wah, akhi? With the 111? You know that one? I'm not going to go there. It's not our style. Why? Because who was the best in it? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was his attribute? If you go back and you read, you'll find out. He says, kana bassaman muhayya. SubhanAllah. He used to smile. People used to come and talk about others. He says, لَا تَتُحَدِّثُونِي عَنْ أَصْحَابِي. Don't talk about my friends. أُنِّي يُرِيدُ أَنْ أُقَابِلُهُمْ بِصَدْرٍ رَحِبٍ. I want to meet them with an open arm, open chest. No illness of the heart. So the da'iyah has to have that spirit. No hearsay. Have you heard? What's the word on the street? What's the dirt? Girl. You didn't. Right, we don't do that. A da'iyah says, akhi, stop, wallahi. We work too hard to get the da'wah. We work too hard to acquire knowledge. We don't want to lose it. Because that's how you lose it. So once you work for something that is a bit hard, you actually hold on. Hold on to it. Once you taste the beauty of iman and the beauty of da'wah, you can't let go. قُلْ مَنْ أَحْسُنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is better than to give da'wah and invite people for the sake of Allah and say, I'm among Muslims. Subhanallah. So the first thing on his ruling, according to Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi, says, alif, reconcile the hearts. And reconciling the hearts is putting your shoulder to the wheel, helping people. Don't tell me, do this and I don't do it. No, help me. Lead by example like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to dig the holes. He used to be as such and humble as such. Be with them. Feel with them. Now, number one, alif. Number two, arif. Once people can actually like you a bit, they will listen to you. Now, once they listen to you, this is the second stage of arif. Educate. Once you want to educate people, how will you educate people? Let's go back to the Quran. What it says? First, the best of nations, kuntum khayra ummah. Why? You were the best of nations. Ta'muruna bil ma'roof wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. So number one, ta'mur bil ma'roof, enjoin good. Number two, forbid evil. But what do? We go the other way around. We forbid evil, but have you enjoined good, akhi? Did you know that these people know about this or not? Have you given them a chance? Do you have rahmah? Do you have rifq? Do you have mercy upon these people? Maybe they don't know. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Were you always this good? I talked to the brothers and sisters that work in da'wah. I say, akhi, you just crucified this guy. With no connotation of the... I mean, you're just giving a hard time to this person. Were you always good? How long did it take you to get back to the straight path? Do you have a halo on your head? So if any one of us says that I'm sinless, I don't make mistakes and I don't sin, welcome. I want to meet this angel that's walking on the street. Who are you? Wallahi. So if you work in da'wah, akhi, have patience and mercy on the people you're dealing with. But having mercy and patience and humble doesn't mean that people can ride you. You have pride and dignity. But pride is not conceit. If conceit comes in your way, bad news. Now, number two. When we teach people, we teach with a smile, right, akhi? We teach with a smile. It's the best way. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to give you just some examples, we can't go into details. It's a course. This thing I'm talking about is actually a course. And brothers in Ayr, may Allah bless them, wallahi, they give a da'wah course. So I'm just giving you hitters. you want to go into all the details, and it's a workshop and all that stuff, we'll talk about it. Come to attend our courses, inshallah, that is free, just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a Bedouin coming into the masjid, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in was around him, and a man, the story is known, just to remind ourselves. He came into the masjid. What did he do? There were no rest, you know, stops or pit stops on the roads at the time. What do you guys have here? Do you have also the golden arches here? No? Okay, whatever you have here. He didn't have anything to relieve himself on the way. So as soon as he got into the masjid, what did he do? A man is going to do what a man is going to do. He relieved himself in the masjid. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in actually wanted to jump on him. What did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He's la tudhrimuh. Don't cut him off. You have to learn a few things. First thing, it was very intellectual to do that. Because if you run after him, what happens? You get the picture. But to contain it in one area, it's much better to clean it. Now, he says, bring a bucket of water and wash it. After he finished, what did the man say? He says, Allahumma ghafir li wa li Muhammad wa la taghfir li ahdin ba'dina. Oh Allah, forgive me and Muhammad only, and don't forget anybody else. That's the reaction you get from people. So we learn. We learn from the master. We learn from the best. We learn from the sealer of the prophets how to give da'wah with a smile. Have patience and mercy on people. Tayyib.
1.9 million students. 300 universities. One message. Allah. Since Ramadan 2011, we have distributed more than 15,000 dawah gift boxes. This is what you said about them.
So the box itself is really impressive. It looks really professional and reminded me of a GHD box.
I've been interested in Islam for about 30 years. And after working through your gift box, I've decided to take action.
What really struck me about the box was the way in which it targets potential Muslims. I love the angle it takes, where rather than gunning ahead with facts about Islam, it tries to get inside the head of everybody who may be searching for something more.
From these materials, more and more people are embracing this beautiful way of life.
Ashhadu
an
la ilaha illallah
wa ashhadu
anna
Muhammadan
abduhu
wa rasuluhu.
MashaAllah.
For the Islam Awareness Weeks, AIRA needs funds to cover the production and distribution of dawah materials. We urgently need £15,000 for this. All you need to do is give £100 toward this noble cause and earn an ongoing reward. Please guide my way onto the path of my being. Click the gift box to donate or visit aira.org/donate.
We know, my brothers and sisters, there's a true story, wallahi. This is another country, another city. A brother just got on the path. You know, when we get back on the path, right? We get very enthusiastic. You know, I used to be bad boy. Do you get that show here? No, I guess not. All right, moving on. Now I'm on the path. I want to help everybody, and I see everything that's wrong. What do? If I see something wrong, I shoot you with a bazooka. Allah will not be disobeyed in this household. If you make a mistake, I just take you out. This man was just coming back and we're very enthusiastic, right? When we get on the path. We learned this the hard way. The etiquettes of da'wah and the science of da'wah. Now he looks back. The masjid did not have dividers in the back. And he looks back in the Jumu'ah time. He sees a sister that's just coming into the masjid. Just coming back. She was far out. She just came in. I'm trying to learn. She's a Muslimah. But she doesn't know much about Islam. She comes in. Her, subhanAllah, قَدَّرَ اللَّهَ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. The man looks back. He's also new and he feels like he wants to prove himself now. And he sees the sister wearing a little bit of a short skirt. Nicely, of course. We've never seen the sister again. And we heard she married a Christian brother and moved on. So the scholars teach us, إِنْ كَانَ أَمْرُكَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهْيُكَ عَلَى الْمُنْكَرِ يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهِ مُنْكَرْ أَوْلَى أَكْبَرُ مِنْهُ فَتَرْكُهُ أَوْلَى. If you're enjoining good and forbidding evil, the consequences of that is a bigger evil, leave it. Leave it. دَرْءُ الْمَفْسَدَ مُقَدَّمٌ عَلَى جَلْبِ الْمَنْفَعَ يَا أَخِي. If something will bring you harm and bring you benefit, leaving it, omitting is better. These are the things that you learn as you go along. طيب. Now, we look at the last. This is after one, alif, two, arif, thumma kallif. After you educate, you obligate. People, when they know, they learn now what to do, what not to do. After that, you tell them, this is halal and this is haram. There is a reward if you do this. And there is a discipline if you don't do that. But what did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He says, "Bashiru, wala tunaffiru, yassiru, wala tu'assiru." Give a glad tiding. Don't repel people. Don't repulse them. Make it easy. Don't make it difficult. So if you want to take a high road as a da'iyah, by all means, go ahead. But do you have to stand on the pulpit and say everyone to take the high road? Or do you have to say that the highest or the highest level is the only way and everybody else is not? Or my only way is the only way that's right, everybody else is wrong? لا إنكار مع اختلاف يا أخي. We have to understand the etiquettes of da'wah and go back to the teaching. We do not reject an idea that there is a difference of opinions among the scholars. Let me tell you the proof of it. Because most of the da'iyas sometimes, or they are adamant that there's only one way. We're not talking about the furu'a. I'm not talking about the usul. I'm talking about furu'a. I'm not talking about the roots. I'm talking about the branches. Usul. Allahu Ahad. Is there a difference on this? There's only one God. Do we have a difference on that? Anyone? I'll see you outside. I'm talking where you put your hand. Now you pray next to the brother, right? You're standing, the imam is saying, and you, what are you doing, man? You're eyeing the brother next to you, right? Where does he put his hand? He's a Hanafi. He's a Shafi'i. Oh, he's a Hanbali. He's a Maliki. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Is that what you do in the thingy, man? Allah help you, wallahi. What's number one rule in the salah? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمُنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَشِعُونَ خُشُوعَ يَا أَخِي. هَيْئَة, هَيْئَة. Do you understand that the hadith is ضعيف? All the hadith is ضعيف, is weak, where you put your hand. Where you put your hand. But the only hadith that is sahih, you put your right over your left. The closest, or the strongest of the weak, is the closest to the chest. But do you understand that? We don't know that. But we heard something, and that's it. I am adamant about it. This is the only way that's right. Oh, and God forbid that you're moving your finger in the shahud. That's another war. I heard with my own ears. There's a scholar somewhere in another country. He says, if you see a brother moving their finger in the salah, break it. I go, mashallah, mashallah. Beautiful da'wah. Da'wah zift, ya akhi, wallahi. So of course, we concentrate on certain things. Oh yeah, the footsie thingy, right? You're adamant about what? Foot to foot, shoulder to shoulder. And you know what, man? Whether you like it or not, I'm going to put my foot to your... And you're doing that thing. You're doing the Russian split. By the time you finish, you're doing the... And what happens? He goes, okay, I'm adamant about it. So I'm... And the other brother says, okay, you come next to me, man. I'm putting needles in my thumb. You take that, dude. Right. You know what happens, Akhi? Unfortunately, We fight over where to actually touch, where to place your hand, touch your head on the wudu, right? This way or all the way back and forth. And our enemies are actually united to cut off our heads. Be smart. You understand? You understand that this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَادْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلَ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. So we have to have hikmah in doing the da'wah, right? So we learn. When we learn when you do the kallif, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had keys, right? He had keys for every personality. For example, you heard about Rukana radiallahu anhu warda. Have you heard of that Rukana radiallahu anhu? What was his key? His key was wrestling. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought him into the fold of Islam by wrestling. Don't do it. I don't want you to turn this thing into a wrestling match. You go outside, you go, my man, I've been watching this WWF, WW whatever, or BMW, or whatever it is, what you call it. Let's wrestle. If I beat you, you know, we'll do this. You'll be in the prison for it. We don't do that. That's not the kind of da'wah. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you talk to the language of Rukana, right? The language of Rukana, his language was wrestling. So you learn, there are keys for every person has a key to their heart and mind and soul. You need to do that. As a da'iyah, you need to find out. You talk to people, ala, according to their ability and information. We'll talk about that next, inshallah. So now Rukana was the champ of the wrestling. So he says, ya Rukana, if you want to be, it's time for you to become a Muslim, ya Rukana. He says, ya Muhammad, I don't need this, alayhi salatu wasalam. I do not need this. You Muslims need this to get together to protect each other. I'm the champ. I sting like a, I fly like a, right, what happened? He says, listen, if I beat you in wrestling, will you become a Muslim? He goes, don't embarrass yourself in front of your friends. He goes, no, don't worry, I'll take it. He says, agreed. A few seconds, Rukana was in back. Because bigger is luck. Let's take it again. Ding! Round two, Rukana on his back. Okay, three times lucky. Again, Rukana on his back. He says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu annaka Muhammad, annaka Rasulullah. Because he spoke his language. So you need to speak the language of the people. Where do you get this proof from? Go back to the Quran, you'll find out. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ وَاسْتَعِلَّ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ لَمْ تَعْلِيلِ. We have not sent a messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have not sent a messenger except with the tongue of the people. The tongue meaning the language of the people? No. Language is important. But what else? Mentality of the people. The environment of the people. The understanding of the people. And so on. So you need to do your homework. So once we have ألف ثم عرف ثم كلف, you have an idea of the stages you go through. So we talked about اقرأ قم الليل إلا قليلا قم فأنذر. Fourth, ولربك فاصبر. سبحان الله. And be patient on what you are going to be plagued. Be patient for the sake of your Lord. At what you are going to be plagued with. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the fourth stage to be patient? Amazing. When the scholar says, let's go back to Luqman. And you'll find out the same methodology is given. Ya bunay, aqim as-salah, wa'mur bil-ma'roof, wanha anil munkar. وَصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. O my son, establish prayer, enjoin good and forbid evil, and be patient in what you are going to be plagued with. Amazing. So I ask you, brothers, is establishing prayer good or bad? Enjoining good, forbidding evil, they're all good. So why would he say, وَصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ? Be patient on what you will be plagued with. Go back to the Quran and you'll find out the answer. يَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. People will not let you do da'wah for an easy path. No. You'll be naive to think that you come in the path of da'wah and this path will be filled with roses, a smooth sailing. Very naive, hopelessly naive actually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us over 1400 years ago that this path is not easy.
people will actually stop you from doing the straight path and da'wah propagation because they want it crooked. Why? Who will sell their gambling this? Who will sell pornography? Who will sell drugs? Who will sell alcohol? Who will sell this? It's big business. You can't do that. Go back in history, you'll find out. Quraysh was the same thing. They believe there's only one God. But is the taken, La ilaha illallah bihaqqiha, taking the truth with that, what comes with La ilaha illallah, that they were afraid of. Because their businesses, because everything else. You tell us what to do with our money, you tell us what to, who do, we leave our position and be equal and humble and brothers and sisters in Islam. You don't want that. So there are certain things that you have to understand, akhi and ukhti, that to expect in this path is not easy. Nuh alayhi salam, how long did he give da'wah for? 950 years. How many people became submitting to the will of God? Very few indeed. Amazing. Think about it. Go to Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu an sahaba al-Ajma'in. When the early Muslims were persecuted, just like early Christians were, what was their crime? La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, believing there's only one God. And history repeats itself. So Khabbab al-Arat radiallahu anhu, before I go there, I have to tell you who Khabbab al-Arat is. Does anyone know here who Khabbab al-Arat is? All right. Do you know who's Beeper? Or whatever that guy's name? Justin Beeper, that guy. You know that guy, right? Who's Khabbab al-Arat, man? Could I call a friend? Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu ardah was one of the most persecuted of the Sahaba. He had holes in his back from the coal that he used to be placed on. Some narration says that the sweat would put it out, or the oil. He had holes in his back. So, akhi, if you think that this path of da'wah is easy, think again. You will be tested, rest assured. So he tells Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَا تَسْتَنْصِرْ لَنَا. He was leaning against the Kaaba. Alayhi salatu wasalam. أَلَا تَدْعُوا لَنَا. Will you not ask Allah to give us victory? So what was the answer for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Was he happy with that? No. Because who's asking? It's Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu ardah. He said, the leaders, persevere. Patience. He says, Wallahi, nations before you, they would make a hole in the ground, place the man inside that, would get a saw and saw him in half. فَلَا يَرُدُّهُ ذَلِكَ عَنْ دِينِهِ. That would not take him away from his deen, his religion. And will take the steel comb, remove the skin off his flesh. That will not take him away from his deen. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. But you're in rush. You're in haste. So you will have to have patience, ya akhi and ukhti, inshaAllah. Now, some of the etiquettes and matters. When we know that you have to have patience in the end, because you will need this not from just people, believe it or not, you will need this from your own family. Your family will make fun of you. Oh, what's that coming in your... You forgot to shave today, eh, man? Hey, sister, from another mister. What's that on your head? Is that like a new style thingy now? Is this like a Vogue thing? Is that that? Oh, you're going to massage it now. You're praying Fajr and Jama'ah. I had a phone call from a panicking father. And he calls, oh so-and-so. Yes, he's panicking. Help me. I go, what? He goes, you got to come. Okay, somebody died. Something happened. Catastrophe plagued your family. He goes, my son. Yes. What happened to him? He's starting to grow a beard. I go, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wa la quwwata illa you." Give me a heart attack, man. A sister calls crying. Wallahi, this is a true story, by the way. A sister calls crying, saying, "What? My father says if I wear the hijab, I will disown you." Yeah. True stories. So if you think in coming on the path and acquiring knowledge to be a da'iyah will be easy, I'm letting you know right off the bat. It's not. If you want to come aboard, ask the brothers that work in da'wah how difficult it is. Ask the sisters who work in da'wah how difficult it is. But the reward is abundant. If you see the truth and you know what's waiting for that, you will never be able to let this beauty of da'wah out. It is sufficient, the scholars say, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wada'iyan ila Allah bi'idnihi, wada'iyan ila Allah wa innaka latad'u ila sirat mustaqim, and so on, ila tahdi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave an attribute to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a da'iyah. Now let's put it all in a nutshell, inshallah. Those who walk in the path of da'wah, I repeat, you are walking in the footsteps of prophets and messengers. So take it seriously, akhi and ukhti. Don't give up because it's a shaitan's trick. It's called futur. You start giving da'wah to the people, and all of a sudden, there's nobody there. Nobody's coming on the fold. Okay, I give up, man. I can't take the heat, I get out of the kitchen. They're stopping me in the airports now. I'm losing my job, dude. And all of a sudden, hijab comes off, beard come off, I change my name from Muhammad to Mo, from Fatima to Queen Latifah. And things change, and quick. Subhanallah. وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا. Says those who turn their back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do what? يَسْتَبْدِلْ. Will exchange you. ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. They will not be like you. So the piece of the pie is there. Who wants a piece of the pie? The piece of the pie comes with a price. The price is ikhlas, commitment, dedication, devotion, and patience. You want to come on board? Let us help you, inshaAllah. How? Right here. Right now. Let us start talking about now putting these words into action. Wallahi, the reason I'm here is because I believe in Aira. These are not, wallahi, this is not lip service. The brothers know that. Why do I believe in Aira as one of the best da'wah machines? Is because the brothers are running it are mostly converts / reverts. They have the mentality. They have the language. They have the understanding. They have the background. They've been there, done that. They were in their shoes. They speak their language. They can't tell me, "You don't know how I feel." No, I know how you feel. I was there. And that's the reason I think iEra is a golden opportunity for da'wah, especially in the West, where we have people that were there, that come back and know the truth, and know the difference, and they're committed, because their heart and soul is in it. So how do you become a part of this? Easy. iEra is like a machine. I want you to think about it as like a vehicle. A beautiful vehicle that has a lot of options. It's fully loaded. They have da'wah material that they give to non-Muslims. They have material that they give when you become a Muslim. They have material to teach you how to become a da'iyah. They speak the language of the people. They have the media. They have everything that now people talk about. They're linked. They're well connected. And they're growing. And we certainly look forward for them to come to Canada. They're more than welcome. And everybody there will support them, inshallah. Now, this beautiful machine that is fully loaded needs the fuel, just like a car. In order for this machine to keep going, in this land of milk and honey, it ain't a thing funny. It's all about money. Right. Now let's put that to action. My brothers and sisters, we're here for a reason. And we thank you for being here, wallahi. But let us now have a piece of the pie. I want you to think about this. This golden opportunity comes knocking on your door. The Malawi project, the areas that they're going on. I want you to think over to Judgment Day. Just take yourself quickly to Judgment Day. 50,000 years. The sun has left its orbit. It's close to your heads. Everyone saying, nafsi, nafsi. Myself, myself. And then you will get your book with the right hand, inshallah, ameen. You will see 99 files. Every file as far as your eyesight can see. You will say, ha umuqra'u kitabiyah. Here, read my book. But in this book, you will see things that you did not do. You've seen too many salahs that you did not do. People come into the fold of Islam that you did not invite. Too many righteous deeds that are not there. Why? Because you helped Aira with whatever you can. And if whatever you can is money, may Allah bless you for that. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it purely for His sake. And accept from all of us, ameen. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He gathered us here in this dunya for this beautiful cause to gather us again with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah without any punishment or accountability. I thank you. My mom thanks you. My doctor thank you. Jazakumullah khayran. Jazakumullah khayran again. Jazakumullah khayran for the third. Barakallahu feekum wa ahlukum wa malukum. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لكم فاستغفروه فهو زخين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وجهات نظر قالوا العمى فقد النظر قلت البصيرة للبصر قالوا المحبة نقمة لا خير منها ينتظر وإن استمرت لا تدوم كبيت رمل في المطر قلت المحبة لا تموت بعاشق